Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five, weekly FGC talk show. We spent about an hour and a half talking about tournaments, talking about DLCs, talking about costumes, talking about results, talking about controversies. It's Tuesday. Every once in a while we get a blow-up Tuesday. Today we're going to be talking about all those things I just mentioned, and is it cool to quit to help your buddy enter championships? Steve, why don't you give us a preview of that? Is it cool?
I don't think so, but
we'll see. Also, Alon is going to reframe me in this four box.
Probably in the big box, too.
Yeah, it's likely.
What are you talking about for all of those of us that don't keep up on the news?
Something happened with the War of the Gods, the Injustice 2 online series. We'll discuss that at the end of the recap. Sick. Not fun. Yeah. It made some people sick.
Quite literally? Or just figuratively?
Mostly figuratively. There might have been one or two who did a little vomiting, but
it's incredible what the human mind can do.
Yeah, it is true. If you're just joining the show, you've never seen it before, it happens. We get those. It says on the chat, somebody hears for the first time, say hello. I'm Efren. This is Michael Donka Schiller, the man, the myth, the legend. We also have Steve, Ace King Offsuit. He's the man with the schedules. He also writes for the Tekken World Tour. You can follow his work on Tekken World. You might not know by reading the articles because his name's not on there. He doesn't have a byline, but that's him writing that, putting in that work.
I say bye-bye to the byline.
And then we have the scholar of the FGC, John Velociraptor Guerrero. And I'm talking about you, pal.
Do you have a bookshelf?
Thanks, man.
Yeah, do you?
You guys are all breaky-uppy for me. I'm not hearing half the things you're saying. Oh, it's because I'm on the wrong internet. One second.
Pause. Let's have an awkward silence.
This doesn't happen every time. Maybe like 30% of the time. If you're new.
Oh, you're a little
a little better, too.
John, can you hear us?
Yeah. Okay, say all those nice things again. I'm ready.
We called you a scholar and asked if you had a bookshelf.
A bookshelf?
Yeah. Like a scholar would have.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't. Continue on with the show.
I'm going to let you bury yourself there. So anyway, tonight on the show, we're going to actually talk about, let me run down some of these topics here. We'll have a recap. War of the Gods. Chinese premieres are rigged, according to Donka. And T-Hawk is coming to Street Fighter V. It says right here, it was leaked.
A lot of patches, a lot of notes, some new games came out, lots of cool stuff this week.
That's pretty much it. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, you should be the host. Steve, how about a recap?
You really want one of those?
Yes.
I think I can give you one of those. busy weekend. Events on nearly every continent. Let's start with Ultimate Fighting Arena. It was the third saga of the Dragon Ball FighterZ World Tour. So the winner of this goes to the finals in January, and that is going to be Goichi, taking it over Hook Yang God in series that was basically feast or famine. They met in winner's finals. It was 3-0 Goichi. They met in grand finals. First set was all Hook Yang God, 3-0. The run back was all Goichi again, 3-0, ending it with a ghetto perfect. So Goichi is now in the championship field. If we take a look at the qualified players, we have the two best players there. So
I would say the three. So, I mean, yeah, definitely the three who have been doing the best recently.
So there's going to be no complaints about, you know, well, they're not in. The three guys who have been the best throughout the year, to date at least, are the three guys, the first three in the finals field. Next one will be next month at Thunderstruck in Mexico. So a little Latin American flavor for the world tour.
I just want to say one thing, which is something I think is kind of cool. is that you notice the winner was the same as the qualifier for all of those. So there has been some movement at the top, but at the same time, the game's been very consistent. And I think it's been a pretty healthy balance of consistent enough to show that like skill prevails, but still varied enough that you're not positive one person's going to win the tournament, and et cetera.
And we'll come back to Ultimate Fighter's Arena a little later on. But let's take a look at Summer Jam real quick for the Tekken World Tour. It was a master event. And look at not just the names up top, but the countries. It was an almost entirely USA top eight. First time all year we haven't had one Korean in grand finals, much less two. Every other event. Every other master event, I should say, was Korea versus Korea, but the USA stood up, they delivered, and it was Anakin over Jimmy J in a ridiculous set. It was pretty much every single round they fought in all three battles was down to the wire. Like, even if one game was 3-1, like, every single round in that set was ridiculous.
What was so hype about this Tekken top three, I guess, that people were like losing their minds over? I didn't watch it, but you were saying like it gave you life. Seijam was talking about how like it was the best finals in a while. What's so good about it?
It just had so much going on. You had John Ding trying to you had Jimmy J getting the revenge on John Ding, because if you remember back to SCR last year, Jimmy J lost to John Ding twice. So, getting the revenge. You had that set between John Ding and Pokechop, where Pokechop, if you don't know him, he likes to talk a little bit. He likes to put on a little bit of a show. He has this signature rock, and I wish I would have downloaded the clip. But when he's feeling himself, he kind of rocks back and forth in the chair. And when those two played, him and John Ding, after the first game, John Ding started doing the little rock, and everyone in the place lost it. I mean, even if you were cheering for the U.S., you can't hate John Ding. His personality is coming through. Really good player. Just amazing player.
Were there any other notable Koreans there besides him?
You had Saint JDCR and Nee all withdrew. Nee was in the IESF qualifier that weekend in Korea, but you also had Dimebag, who needed a big weekend to keep his spot in the top 19. Japan came in strong. Yu was there. Furumizu. You had UK as well. You had three players coming out, including Kanan Trench, who is also right there on that qualification line. So, but U.S., good weekend for them. They stood strong.
Yeah, and I just want to add one more thing, too. This was one of the last master events here in North America, too. So this is like kind of the last chance for the U.S. to earn some points. And yeah. What's crazy is John Ding being the only Korean in top eight is that John Ding already has enough points to qualify, or he's already sitting pretty. So it was basically him trying to take out like anybody that could qualify by winning this event. So this was kind of like America's chance to get somebody qualified to represent the U.S.
Yeah, you had guys like Shadow, Speed Kicks, Pokechop, and Lil Majin, who got knocked out in top 16. But if any of those guys made top three, top four, they're all of a sudden right in the thick of the race. So really, really big event.
For anybody wondering whose disembodied voice that was, that's Ilan Roshovsky, of course. I think I pronounced his last name right.
You fucked it up, but that's okay.
You fucked up the audio like 3 weeks running, so.
Yeah, and now it's fixed.
So how do you pronounce your last name?
I'm not going to tell you.
Well, then it's not going to get fixed. And that's the last we'll be hearing from Ilan, our technical
director. I just
got
a preview of the next slide, and I'm a little scared for the consequences, but keep going.
Let's
take a look at the Tekken World Tour standings. And hey, you've got two names in green, Nee and John Ding. What does green mean? Oh, it's right there in the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting cut off. I can't see it on the screen. What does it say?
those two players have clinched spots in the Tekken World Tour finals. But the big thing is, look at right around 18-19. Joey Fury was on that bubble. He got a good boost, so he's breathing a little easier. Anakin now in the top 10. But now you have Speed Kicks with his strong weekend, and Jimmy J with you know, showing up to two events and still almost getting in the field. They have knocked Dimebag out of qualifying position. So,
Steve, I have a question before we move forward. I appreciate that you put down there that okay, so I guess apparently if something's in green font, then that means they're qualified for TWT finals, whatever that is. But I mean, I appreciate that. There's two names in green. The majority of this entire list is all in white, and we have no idea what that means. So it's like, I mean, I appreciate it, like 4%. I understand, but I don't know what all the rest of it is, and that's kind of, I mean, it's shitty. Like we're trying to read what you have here, and I appreciate the effort. I don't really appreciate the final product, but can you, I mean, just fill us in verbally, since you didn't do it textually, what it means if the names are in white.
How about we talk about Ultimate Fighting Arena for the
Tekken? Answer the man's question, Steve. That's an honest, straightforward question. We're trying to get ourselves informed so we can follow these.
No, it's fine. It's fine. If he wants to be like a, you know, a D-minus kind of contributor to the show, that's fine.
It's not a fail.
There were four events on the Capcom Pro Tour this week. Start out with Ultimate Fighting Arena. The first of two straight French events, because you've got the mix up next weekend, Street Grand Battle. A little bit of a surprise here, Angry Bird.
Yeah, wow.
It's for Momi. Angry Bird, who often gets confused as an alternate name for Big Bird. Yeah. I think Capcom either tweeted him out or tagged him wrong in a picture this weekend. But anyway, good weekend for Big Bird. Finally, not just his first TWT win, but his first ever tournament win. Any event.
Who's Angry Bird rocking?
Hmm?
Who does Angry Bird rock? Who does he play?
Akuma.
Mostly Akuma, but sometimes.
Oh, and Zeku too.
Zeku, yeah. Well, significantly this time around, but I won't steal Steve's thunder.
No, you can take the thunder. You can, because you're taking my thunder anyway, so go ahead.
Well, I wouldn't want to get, oh my gosh, the passive aggressivity here.
Hey, I'm Minnesotan. That's what we do.
So Angry Bird, the player formerly known as Big Bird, is that what we're going with now?
if you want to get hit by somebody, sure.
Yeah, maybe. So he gets mostly Akuma through this tournament, but with a Zeku. I've actually played a Zeku briefly at Combo Breaker, and it's the real deal. You know, he knows what he's doing. We don't see a lot of that character in competitive Street Fighter, but he most significantly pulled out Zeku during Grand Finals and had a pretty amazing run there. Just made the, it was like a text, like a field day for Zeku. Like, he just put on a show, very entertaining, winning with a character that we seldom see at all. And I think the end of it was like just this amazing run. Like, it wasn't even close, right? Grand Finals? Steve?
Yeah, it was pretty dominant. Yeah.
I did not get to watch this live, so I don't remember the score. I'm sorry.
But it was a very exciting and very new and refreshing kind of run there. And, of course, like you said, it was his first win at all. So he goes immediately to tears and, you know, puts his head down. And it was emotional, exciting, everything you want as a spectator from one of these events we got thanks to Angry Big Bird's play.
I'm trying to find it so we can watch it here.
And we've heard a lot about the balance of SF5, and we've seen numbers that are pretty, you know, indicting of certain trends. But at the same time, you know, Bison won Evo, Zeku won here, and you know, the Evo winner was there. And we've just seen at this point a number of players able to take the top with a number of characters. So that, I think, is good for the sake of the game, for sure.
I feel like there was a moment several months back now when people were like, dude, Zeku might actually be good. Are we all just like hopping on the wagon of whoever's hot that time and nobody wants to put in the work? Like in Street Fighter IV's life cycle, where all of a sudden, granted it was a different season or a different patch, but all of a sudden, Fuerte was really hot. I think that was.
Because that damn quesadilla bomb, though, that was pretty significant. I think we really need to just put time into characters, but you can't ask players to put time into characters if they're not at least fun to play to begin with, you know, and with at least some kind of a carrot on a stick to keep them sticking with things. Because if they're not fun or they're really hard to win with, it's like they might have something deep down buried inside, but you got to get there. And Zeku, you know, he's got two entirely different movesets. And so that's going to be one of the more technical characters in the entire game, similar to like what we saw with Gen in Street Fighter 4. No one gave Gen a chance, but then someone like Shen comes along, breathes new life into him by winning Evo, and all of a sudden you got people investigating this character with a lot more ferocity.
So I downloaded the first one I found without inspecting it first, and it's definitely like somebody's cell phone shot of it, but here's
I think he used Young Zeku a lot more than people on average have considered the use of Young Zeku. I mean, old Zeku is definitely like the main neutral force of the character, but he was switching back and forth between the modes and applying a lot of pressure with a character that was thought to be really gimmicky, and he just made it look super good. So yeah, it was really fun to see.
Yeah, the flip arounds were a big part of it too. It was like you didn't know what side he was going to be on or how old he was going to be when he hit you, and that was something that, you know, we just don't see a lot of that. It was brand new content for Street Fighter V in this game that we've been watching for almost 3 years now. But he's zipping around, side switching, puffing away in smoke, and coming back, and it was a really great visual presentation.
Yeah, and I think the balance of the game is really like much better than people give it credit for, myself included. I think there's trends you see where basically, you know, the best players of this game are the people who often are the pro players of this game and play it the most. And those guys have kind of an obligation to try to win. And so they continue to pick good characters. And because of that, you don't see the weaker characters as much. And so they may be closer to the top than you realize. And Zeku might be a case of that. Do I think Zeku is top tier? No, I don't think he's close. I think he's probably still in the bottom half of the cast. But that doesn't mean he can't win, as we saw.
I wonder if, this is like just a random hypothetical, but if there wasn't any pressure of a pro tour, if there wasn't any pressure of money on the line, would we see a wider variety of characters?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
There's like at least 10 Cammies who would not be playing Cammy that I can like name if there was no pro tour.
Go for it.
But on that same token, would these players be willing to put so much time and effort into grinding those characters out if there wasn't any chance of a financial reward.
Yeah, and I think the Pro Tour is a good thing. Like, I'm not trying to argue it's a bad thing, but yeah, you're right.
So I don't necessarily think, you know, there might be greater variety, but I don't necessarily think that the skill of those characters would be as we would see.
You're totally right.
So, but if we take a look at the European standings now, with just two events left, Phenom, Luffy, and Problem X still...
Steve.
Yes.
In the previous Tekken standings, you had green equals TWT qualifier. Why aren't you sticking to the same format here and instead opting for a...
Very consistent notation.
No. It makes total sense. If they're in green, they've already qualified. If they're white, they're not. Let the man... Just let him do his thing. Come on.
I didn't think I would say this today, but thank you, John.
Yeah, no problem. Man.
Wait, I can fix this.
Wow. Thank you for joining us for these past couple years of Festivive. Let's moving swiftly along back to Summer Jam for the ranking event there, and name we haven't seen at the top for a while, Punk getting his first win of 2018 on the Pro Tour, taking it over Toy, who had a hell of a run.
Third, second place finish this year, I think. Something like
that.
Yeah.
I think the other two were the online events, but Toy is putting in some serious work. He is not officially clinched for the regional finals, but he's pretty close. We can actually take a look on the next screen. He's currently third in the regional standings behind Justin Wong and Knuckle Doo, with four events remaining. So he's very, very strong position to qualify for that last chance to get into Capcom Cup.
I want to see Toy do well so bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's following that path of making a name for yourself online and then getting a chance offline. doing what you can there. And I mean, that's what Punk did a couple years ago. And he, you know, we're talking about a guy who's won E-League, made hundreds of thousands of dollars off of this game. So
he's got cardboard cutouts up.
Yeah, but if you're from the Texas, Louisiana areas, for sure you know who Toy is. And he's been playing for
a long definitely time. The best player in Texas at this point. So shout outs to him.
So, moving on.
Let's head to Puerto Rico for a first attack. And once again, Caba over CJ Truth. Matchup that has a little bit of a lore behind it, if you're following drama. But Caba picking up yet another win. One interesting thing I found out from the Game Thwok, who, if you're not following him for CPT stats, you need to correct that immediately. This was a tournament that did winners finals, losers finals, grand finals as the final three matches. So whoever loses winners finals had to go right back in. And when that happens, the person who loses in winners finals is 0-7 this year.
Yuck.
In losers finals. So it's really tough to turn that momentum when you get put in that situation. But the big, you know, we're talking about drama, we're talking about blowups. On a completely unrelated note, let's head over to Final Fighters China.
A lot of Koreans.
Oil King taking it in grand finals over Momochi, shorts and all. We didn't think we'd see the shorts, but we got the shorts. Not only the $7,000 prize you get for winning a premiere, but also got an extra $13,000 from a Chinese sponsor, Beijing U Time. So taking home $20,000 American for that performance. Good for him. You see Alex Myers, one win away from top eight. Not necessarily a name you expect to see make a deep run at an event like this. And we'll talk about some of the circumstances surrounding that. But before we do that, let's take a look at the global standings after this weekend. The top three, still the three officially clinched for Capcom Cup in Fujimura, Tokido, and Problem X. If you look at right around that 26-27 mark, that race is really tight. 30 points separating 26th through 30th. So it's going to come down to the wire for those final guaranteed spots in Capcom Cup.
And we're at the point where the single point is no longer making a difference. So kind of interesting. But
okay, so what chunk of players are you looking at, 26 to 30?
26 through 30. That's the race for the final spots.
Let's take a quick aside. I am Chuan, Akainu, Brolinho, Toy, and Itazan. Who y'all think has the best chance? Not knowing what else they're going to compete at, what events they'll be at, what's near them or not. Looking at that list, you want to include Christie in there? Or you don't think he's in that? He's in the danger zone as much?
Well, I mean, Christie certainly isn't secure by any means. Let's throw him in there, too.
Go for it. All right. From Christie down, who y'all think has the best chances to make it in? And
Itazan.
Yeah. I'd put it between Itazan and I'd have to look at what events are left, right? Brolinho tends to dominate Brazilian events on almost an unprecedented level. He the last Brazilian event, I remember he didn't make top eight, but before that he had won almost every single one he'd entered, and he's been making it to Capcom Cup that way for a couple years now. Itazan, probably the best player, if we're going purely on a skill level, and also likely to enter the most tournaments. So I think he's got to be the pick, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
I think out of that group, if you look at what's left, there's six Latin American ranking events left, two of them in Brazil. You have to believe Brolinho will do well at both of those. So he has a chance to pick up some more points.
Really solid
and
chance.
Akainu. There's the event in France this weekend, Street Grand Battle at the Mix-Up. But that's it for Europe. That's the last European event outside of the regional final at the, you know, in 3 weeks. So if he's not able to travel, he's going to be in the clubhouse and have to hope that he's got enough. So,
but I mean, all of those guys could do it for sure. No question.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't have 360 points or whatever at this point without having done well in multiple events, and not just well, but especially with the way ranking point distribution has changed, very well. So, I mean, they've all shown multiple times they can be consistent and strong.
The hell's that sound? Is that your fish tank again, John?
My fish tank? No. What sound? What is it? What is it? Is it this?
It's kind of like a.
Is it gone?
It is now.
It's gone.
All right, cool.
All right, moving on.
All right. But before we get into the drama with the Chinese event, let's dip into a little more drama, shall we? The War of the Gods finale was this past weekend, and that was taken by Semij, who's had himself a hell of a season. You see Noble, great year for them. Semij and Tweety, 1-2. You had Rewind, three of the players in top eight for them on that squad. You have Nyx, who just missed top four. He got in through some very odd... through a very odd situation. If you take a look at the past weekend, there was a match between Combat and Deoxys. It was the final regular season match. Combat, at this point in the tournament, had already done enough to clinch a spot in the finale. Deoxys needed to make grand finals, and this was loser's quarters. And at some point, it was a tense set, came down to the final game, final life bar, and Combat just stopped playing.
What a dumbass.
Put down his controller, because he didn't have to do anything else, and Deoxys was the one with stuff to lose. So he set it down. Deoxys, you know, what else could he do? He took the game. And in the aftermath, Stream.me disqualified... Combat, so he went from in the finale to having 0 points on the season. Deoxys, for his part, after that match, he disqualified himself from that tournament.
Is Deoxys like his boy? Are they friends?
I don't know how tight they are, but Deoxys, from all accounts, had nothing to do with this. He had no knowledge. He disqualified himself from the tournament, so he finished in fourth.
Ultra David says they're friends.
Okay.
There's like a really obvious spot where he puts down the controller. I mean, like, I'm just like, I mean, he could have made this much less obvious. I don't know. I just can't even.
So you're saying if you're going to collude.
I mean, like, all you have to do is walk at him and press bad buttons. Like, this is not hard. So like, I'm frustrated that, like, it's bad enough that you're colluding. Like, at least do it well, right? I don't know. But of course, colluding is bad. I'm not suggesting you collude well either. But come on.
Yeah. And like I said, everything that we've heard from everyone involved,
and it's not collusion. That's right. Both parties have to be.
Yeah. So it just sucks to see something like that. You know, there.
Hold on. Alter David here, who is obviously a reputable source, says Deoxys was pissed. Not really collusion.
Yeah,
wasn't in on it, but he was mad about it. Now, why be mad about it? Like, okay, you can be mad, but still not disqualify yourself.
I mean, you can feel like you didn't earn it. I probably wouldn't have disqualified myself either if I really, truly wasn't in on it. But, I mean, maybe that's how his morals line up. I mean, that's a really personal thing at that point.
Man, I wish Shelter J was a part of our show because he's giving me all the good info here. Also, Combat apologized on Twitter. He was like, this is my first competitive game. He's a teenager. Didn't realize it was wrong. Won't do it again. Thank you, Shelter J,
for informing us. They don't have a show tonight, so if you want my spot, you can take it.
Well, we're going to try to replace John after he quit at the end of last week's show, but I don't think we can afford David. Nah.
I'll throw in $5. That's got a $5, and do I still have it?
In the Injustice finals.
Yeah.
That might be
worth. Give him a Chun costume.
Chun-Li costume, $5, and a spot in the Injustice Finals. There you go, David.
Boom.
Steve, do you know if it was explicitly stated in the rules, hey, don't do this?
I would have to.
Probably.
I haven't seen the official rules, but I gotta believe that even if there's not something against that, there's usually some sort of clause that allows final judgment to come down to the tournament organizer so that they have free rein in a situation like this. And I don't think anyone's going to sit back and say, well, he should, you know, that's not right. He shouldn't be disqualified for that. So.
Well. So then where does that leave us, Steve? How about this recap?
I think we've talked about blow-ups enough, so let's talk about China.
All right, let's go to it. What you got?
That was – there was a whole bunch of things
I can think of at least four things, I think.
Yeah, yeah. There were like three or four different things where if they happened at any other event, they would be the big controversy of the weekend. But it all sort of happened at once. I mean, obviously, the biggest one in terms of attention was the bracket itself. Unlike other events that you seeding based on either CPT points or a ranking, you know, belief of how strong the players are, this one was a very random draw. It was allegedly recorded. I don't know if the recording has been viewed by anyone or not.
They taped the creation of the bracket, is what you're saying?
Yes. So there were, you know, anytime you have a random draw for pools, you always have the possibility of a pool of death. And there was certainly that pool of death. It was not Xiaohai's pool. Xiaohai being the Chinese player who's highest in the CPT standings, who has the best chance to make it to Capcom Cup. He was placed in a pool with notable internationals, Oil King, RB, Itabashi Zangief, and Gachikun, which sounds like a pretty strong pool.
Yeah, really hard pool.
Until you realize that all four of those international players are on the opposite side of the bracket, and that Itabashi versus Gachikun was a first round matchup. So there have been accusations flying, as will happen with anything that doesn't have 100% transparency, that the random draw wasn't really
it
random.
It was terrible. It was awful. There are like all China pools where people you've never heard of made it through. There are pools, as you said, with like those kind of first round matchups. It is a mess. I mean, it clearly is not random. It's that bad.
So then the first place my mind goes is, how much blame do we immediately put on Capcom? Because at the end of the day, this was a pro tour event, and you have to wonder, well, should they be regulating on this level? And they've just basically been letting tournament organizers do their things, and they haven't had much trouble so far, but the possibility of something like this can happen, and here it is.
In my mind, it comes down to Capcom, because, you know, obviously, I heard people saying it was great to see new faces in the top eight, and I enjoy seeing that. But in my mind, what makes seeing new faces in the top eight for me is watching people overcome other strong players to get there. If right. one person's path is significantly easier because of the luck of the draw, because they didn't have to deal with Gachikun and Itazan because they took each other out, that lessens the draw for me to their story, which sucks because it's not some of these players' fault, you know. What, you know, someone like Huang Yanmian, and I probably still butchered that. He had a great weekend. He got top six in a very strong tournament, made a great run. Pithead China had some really good found play. But, I mean, what are they supposed to do? They can only play the players in front of them. But now, even though they had a great weekend, the takeaway is going to be, oh, they only got this far because they had an easy draw. You know, the organizers were trying to help you know, make it easy for Chinese players and yada, yada, yada. So it sucks for them. It sucks for everyone who traveled out.
So have we gotten any reaction or comment from Capcom? Any kind of acknowledgement of this? Or are they just staying quiet?
They have not said anything specifically.
I won't go too far into it, but as someone who's done seating for events, there isn't much of a system. And I don't think it's quite as simple as saying, like, so one big rule, you got to seed by the Pro Tour. Because that really doesn't work well at a lot of stages. I mean, early on, obviously, there's not much tournaments. It favors areas that have had more tournaments earlier on in the season. It doesn't work that simple, but there has to be some sort of, they either need to have like a seeding representative they hire, they need to say at some point in the season we go by the Pro Tour, up to some certain number of players we go by the Pro Tour. There obviously has to be something at this point, because the precedent has now been set that people will abuse this if they can.
Yeah, and it's done. I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine how to put it all on paper so that it regulates out and everything, you know, flows forward easily and without much resistance. But excuse me, but when you're at one of these events, it's not very hard to find someone that understands, that follows the community enough to at least give you an idea that playing Itabashi and Gachikun first round is not wrong. The right way to
it's
go.
Wrong.
You know? So it's like if you don't know, that's fine. Maybe it's not on you to know everything as the tournament organizer for a Capcom Pro Tour event in China, but if you don't find somebody who's an arm's length away that does and avoid this kind of thing, at least have some input, because it seems as though they just had no idea. I mean, I don't want to say that it looks like they did it on purpose. I think it's too shoddy of a job to be done on purpose. It's like, yeah, you guys are very obviously trying to screw over somebody if that's the case, and I don't think that they were. It sounds just like someone that didn't know what the hell was up, or they just hit a random generator and that was that.
It was a random draw.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, you got to have a little more attention to detail if you're going to be in this kind of a position, and it's not that hard to find someone to get these kind of answers, you know. So I feel like this was just laziness.
And I think there's, you know, I speak as someone who feels there is room for some sort of random draw aspect. You know, I've always had this idea that, you know, you get to Capcom Cup, you do a random draw for groups and like the World Cup, and that would be hype. And I've seen proposals from like Curly W, who does brackets for Combo Breaker and a bunch of other FGC events, promoting something along the lines of tournament style seeding, where there's a bit of randomness within a group of,
and that's usually how it goes at premieres, by the way.
Right.
Usually there is a group of seeds and it's random within said group.
But if you have a tournament where finishing position matters, you know, there's a big difference between finishing third and finishing ninth in terms of reward, not just monetary, but points for the CPT. When you have that, I feel like you can't just do a purely random draw. And this is assuming that the random draw was truly a random draw and it just happened to play into this narrative and wasn't necessarily something they intended to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like there's too much on the line to let a purely random draw happen for an event like this.
And well, so how long do you think that people talk about this? Is it something that we talk about here on Best of Five and then by next week's show, no one's bringing it up again? Or does this kind of resonate and linger for a while?
I think, I was going to say that I think that as far as like common murmur in the FGC, it'll go away quick. But I think it will mar discussion of Chinese tournaments, specifically this premier event, until it's rectified. You know, like, well, this event may never happen again at this, like, the way it went.
No, it's going to happen again, because there have been issues, at least in terms of the stream, the event production, for Chinese events at the last 3 years. And yet we're still having events in China, because that is an important area to Capcom in particular.
Well, of course.
And B, because Capcom's goal with the Pro Tour and having as many events as they have,
I more so meant whoever ran this, but yes.
Right. Is that they want to give official acknowledgement to as many different scenes around the world as they possibly can. So,
oh, I mean, China needs an event. I'm not denying that. Yeah.
Yeah. Will it be necessarily be this one? I don't know. It's been, I believe, three different events over the last 3 years. I'm not 100% sure if any organizational staff carried over from year to year. But
Steve, were there any other issues with this event other than the random draw / seeding / brackets?
One or two.
Or three?
They ran this, or three. This was ran on PC. And as PC tournaments tend to do, they had trouble between games. Trying to get drivers recognized, controllers recognized, and all that, to the point where the stream was like a match every 20 minutes. You'd have a match and then like 10, 15 minutes downtime while they got the next match ready, so on and so on. So I think like the first day of pools, they had 6-7 matches on stream.
How long was the stream?
It was a 4-hour block.
Yeah, I mean, I don't directly blame PC, but if you're going to run a PC tournament, you better know how to do it, and they didn't. So, yeah, big problem.
And I don't know how much that can be avoided with a Chinese event, because basically PS4 was, or consoles were illegal in China until 2014, I believe, either 2014 or 2015. They take up like 1% of the market share. Consoles are just non-factors in China. So, it's just that the state of this game doesn't lend itself to running in a tournament setting on PC. And yet, here we are.
Steve, were there any other issues with this event?
There was a dress code.
Go on.
For the first time that I can recall at a CPT event, there was a dress code. And it involved, if you're a pro player, you have to wear your uniform, which, whatever. Your lower half has to wear pants.
That's
slippers
fine.
Are not allowed.
How
shorts are not allowed.
Weird.
Tattoos must be covered. And I know this is a bit of cultural differences between, you know, China and other Western countries, but this is a bit of a shock. UIU did reach out to the organizers for Oil King, who is known for his Larry Bird-esque shorts, if I could put it that way. Did note that his shorts were part of the uniform, so he was able to wear them with pride on his way to victory. But
I mean, especially the forcing of the shirt if you don't have an official uniform just doesn't come off well. I mean, yet again, it's harder to like say this is truly objectively bad, but it's not a popular thing to do, and it certainly
right.
could influence people to not want to go to this tournament.
Absolutely. All of this, like, I mean, the technical issues that we've already gone over, all right, bad enough. But then if you're from a whole other culture and you come in here and it's like this kind of regulation, I mean, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, what a turnoff. Am I going to spend my money doing all of this again next year when, and apparently there's been issue in the past with Chinese tournaments. It's like the motivation to go is going to be dropping like crazy, I would imagine, after all this. And we're only on like thing three, right? Aren't there four?
It runs really obviously controversial too, to like, I mean, a lot of FGC things like tattoos or something that are pretty like, we're way past that in the FGC, caring about a lot of the things that are cared about here. And yet, of course, that's a cultural difference, but it's certainly going to turn off a huge, huge portion of this scene.
Yeah, I mean, like, they also had certain costumes that you couldn't use.
I have it right here for you. So this was Z that he was taking pictures of, like, the rule book. And I assume this is Manat, not Manet. Had to be in the school uniform. Rainbow Miko had to wear what I assume is the Monster Hunter uniform or costume. Chun-Li had to wear a story costume. Cammy had to wear the school uniform. Zangief had to wear his
now, of course,
holiday costume.
We can't say this is only China. Evo did this too.
Certainly.
But yeah, I mean, when you add it to everything else, it just comes off as, it doesn't come off well. And I mean, this is not the only game where this has ever happened. And I always bring this up. In Hearthstone, for example, the other three regions are required to air their, you know, their placements for their qualifiers for the Worlds, and China is not. And in fact, you don't actually get to see the qualifying process for the Chinese players at all. So four players just come out, and it's not really broadcasted. So, I mean, there's a lot of companies that make a lot of leeway for Chinese tournaments. And this is our foray into that.
It's a big, big market that, you know, the rules there aren't necessarily the same here. And I'm not trying to say that the rules are better or that they need to change everything, but it's a culture shock to a lot of people that, you know, if you're a potential attendee, you have to think, well, do you want to deal with all this next year?
And it goes back to another issue. I mean, like, obviously and this is still like my biggest, like the thing that makes me the maddest about the Capcom Pro Tour is the whole Latin America not having money for their regional finals because it's in Brazil. At some point, Capcom has to decide, okay, if the country's not going to align with our ideals, we'll figure out another way to do this. And I don't think they're doing a good job of that. And this shows that, and the Latin America final shows that, and they got to figure out something.
Because that's the difference between Capcom, the esports organizer, and Capcom, the company. What's best for Capcom, the company, in these situations, isn't necessarily the best for Capcom, the esports organizer. Because why would you spend money?
John, you care to educate us on what's going on over there? No, okay, got it. No. All right. Okay.
But I mean, if you're Capcom, why would you spend money running an event in Latin America that isn't in your home base? You know, Brazil is where Capcom Latin America is. You know, why would you not run an event in China just because you've got some weird broadcast rules that you have to abide by and not show certain costumes? You know, the punishment or what the company loses isn't enough to make up for what the esports organizer gained. So you're going to have situations like this where Capcom's going to do what's best for itself as a company.
You know, and on this front, I guess this is your we're a ways into the Capcom Pro Tour at this point, right? I mean, as far as like we've had a few years now, I'm getting close to the edge of where my philosophy is, okay, this is a new venture in a lot of ways, and it's going all over the world, and there are a lot of obstacles and potentially unforeseen problems that are going to pop up. And so I give a lot of leash for that. But after a while, it's like if this continues to happen, that's where I take issue. So it's like I'm going to give Capcom some leeway here. But if anything similar happens, you know, next time around, then that's when I'm like, okay, this is not really okay. And it sounds like this isn't really a first in some ways in this whole China thing. And like the other issues that Steve was bringing up with Latin America and Brazil having the restrictions that it does, it's like, okay, that might happen once, but more than that, it's like, you gotta work around it. And I really want to see them grow and evolve and make an ultimately better Pro Tour, which they've done in a lot of ways, but this isn't a good look.
Somebody just called us out on the chat, and I went and verified that Z also tweeted out a picture of that. You had the color picture, but of the uniform, it does say on there non-mandatory.
Sure, but that was a different picture than we were shown, and I think it's a little confusing on purpose on their part. Yeah.
It says, you can wear the official uniform, non-mandatory. If you have tattoos, please try to cover through clothing, or with clothing, presumably. Yep. Please wear your team uniform. If you have tattoos, please try to cover through clothing. Why is that repeated? If the team does not provide a uniform, you can wear the official clothing, non-mandatory. I think that means you can go naked.
Sure.
Just let it all hang out. Am I right, Steve?
You know what I'm talking about. There's issues of, you know, jurisdiction over who gets to decide that. But.
And then we had our friend of the show, Ryan Harvey, Fubar Duck, regarding the China CPT. Remember that Japan had SBO and America had Planet Zero, collectively responsible for way more egregious incidents repeatedly. Don't hold a country accountable for a bad experience. Hold people or organizations accountable. Every place in the world has good people.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, I want to reiterate that, that this does not mean China should not have a CPT event. It means that something needs to happen in order to avoid this in the future. Whether that be switching the hands of who runs it, whether it be oversight from Capcom, something.
Hey guys, did you hear that Cervantes and Raphael were leaked? Confirmed. Soul Calibur 6. Check that out. This is somebody on Reset Era that posted this. There you have Zombie Pirate Man.
I love Raphael.
And Fencing Glasses Man. Fancy Fencing Glasses Man. I think those are the unofficial titles. This game's shaping up to be pretty hype.
I love seeing Cervantes because I love me some big body buccaneer.
Go on.
I just wanted to say big body buccaneer. I'm sorry.
Is he even really a big body, though, or is this like some lore that I'm not privy to?
Bigger than Raphael.
Yeah, but he's not like a big body.
He's not like Astaroth, but I mean, he's a large dude.
Is that dude Rock in there, the guy that had like a bear or like mammoth head? He's not in the game anymore, is he?
No, I haven't seen him, at least.
He got replaced by Astaroth, sadly.
Well, they should bring him back.
Well, I love Astaroth.
I think so too.
Astaroth looks dumb with a big outside heart.
Yeah, I want a giant guy who just screams the name of his son over and over and over again. Yeah.
I like the Astaroth. Stop.
So anyway. if you remember that rumored list that we showed off, both of these guys were on there.
Yeah, that list is right.
that's starting to shape up.
Huang and Lizard Man. Looking pretty good for them to make the list.
That's cool.
That's what everybody wanted, Lizard Man.
Yeah, I wanted that.
I bet you did. These random ass picks. I want Rock back.
I want Roger Jr. back in Tekken.
But I want Rock back, and I want him to look like Dwayne Johnson.
How have you not asked for Yoda yet, considering how big of a Star Wars
No, he even are. Said he doesn't like Yoda. That was in our block grab.
Yep. He sucked in that game. But Darth Vader and Starkiller, they're all right. No, it wasn't Starkiller.
Soul Calibur 6 is looking cool, though. I mean, I don't think it's going to, like, branch out to the level of, you know, some of the most major games. But, you know, Tekken kind of is putting 3D games back on the popular map. And I think that bodes well for Soul Calibur in a way. Like, I mean, obviously it's not a direct correlation, but I think it helps.
But what does it mean for Dead or Alive?
Nothing. That game has not been popular.
Wow. All the right. Views expressed are not necessarily those of
Alden Vieira is saying Viola, Cassandra, Hilda, I think I'm pronouncing her name right, all the waifus going to be DLC, feels bad, man. Probably. Hilda was badass. She just had a cool design.
Cassandra so much.
You're not, isn't Sophitia enough for you?
No, Sophitia is my favorite, but I also love Cassandra.
Yeah, you want to get them both? In the game?
Definitely. All right. In the game.
I'm not saying anything.
I like Soul Calibur. It's like the only 3D game I enjoy playing because it's easy. So
Mitsuruki's in there already. Takis is in there. Not to be confused with the chips.
Very She's easy not to confuse.
Dude
would be
Witcher.
Difficult to confuse.
Dude from The Witcher. And probably Shovel Knight by the time, because that guy's in everything.
He's probably in as many fighting games as like E Honda at this point.
And Terry Bogard.
You put Terry Bogard in this game, you're right. Geralt's going to be in there. I wonder if he'll have a Henry Cavill alt, as it was just revealed that in the Netflix special, he'll be playing him. All right, moving on. Anything else you guys want to say about Soul Calibur 6? Transcending time and history.
I saw Dragon tweeting that like that's what he's going to play full time. So that's kind of interesting.
Dragon,
like
the NetherRealms player?
Yeah, the NetherRealms player. He said he wants to play Soul Calibur.
Why is he? Oh, but like exclusively?
Well, he just said that was the game he's interested in. So
he wasn't hyped for MK11 after the cool trailer that we showed?
Well, I mean, everyone's hyped for MK11 after the trailer we showed. But that's, and part two is coming next week, by the way. But, oh, I wasn't supposed to say that?
Dude, I can't believe you keep giving it away like that.
Sorry.
Jeez.
But that's in the horizon.
We actually have a, might as well go to that news. NetherRealms did put this image out. Ed Boon now has a Instagram account, and this was his first post. Hard to believe it's been 8 years since we opened NetherRealms Studios, and while we're not quite ready to talk about our next game, be assured everyone here is working very hard to make it our best game yet.
Well, you can tell that it's NBA Jam from that screen cap.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that was the first thing, especially because of the mocap suit. And also the lights on the rails in the back. I mean, that's clearly NBA Jam.
Yep.
Do they even still have that license? It's not even Midway anymore.
God, if they announced Injustice 3, that would be the funniest. Oh, my God, that'd be so funny.
You'd be the only one laughing.
I would laugh so hard.
He did say that it's not, is specifically not Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. So.
Okay, even though he's had that as his Twitter handle or his the avatar. So, question. Go back to Dragon. Does anybody know if Sonic Fox has mentioned ever playing any of the Bamco games or the Tekken or Soul Calibur games? He's never said anything about that,
I don't think,
right?
He limits himself to anything.
But he hasn't shown interest necessarily of playing those games?
Yeah, actually, a while ago, Sonic did send out a... He tweeted that, like, you can change the button mapping on the PlayStation, and he demonstrated some stuff with it in Tekken.
So, like, that to you means he's been playing secretly Tekken?
Well, I mean, he's playing Tekken if he's doing button combinations.
Maybe he's just played everything a little bit. Yeah. I mean,
what I'm getting at is Dragon, I feel like his foil, his thorn in his side is Sonic Fox. And Sonic Fox is like, all right, well, I'm also going to play Smash. I'm also going to play Dragon Ball.
Well,
and I'm going to dominate.
According to Yeager Zero in the chat, he used to play Soul Calibur 5. So he said
Dragon?
He's going to Sonic Fox.
All
right. So
I could see Sonic playing Soul Calibur for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I just wanted Dragon to have his second game that he dominates at and not have to, like, you know, can't escape Sonic Fox, I guess.
No. I mean, even if you're playing in other genres of games, you can't escape Sonic Fox.
Yeah, Jaeger Zero says Sonic was at one time a tournament player in Soul Calibur 5. He played Viola.
Sonic is good at everything. He's proven it. Like, there's no more being a denier. It's impossible.
But, like, even games that aren't fighting games have Sonic Fox dominating.
He'll be good at anything. Like, like Smash. He'll probably be good at Smash, which is not a fighting game.
Ultra David says, you're such a piece of shit. He's a strong Dead or Alive player. Yeah. Sonic, or Soulzan 2000 says Sonic played Virtua Fighter.
He's good at everything.
That's right. I actually remember now that it was Sonic and his brother would usually be the grand finals of most DOA tournaments in the East Coast.
Quiggle, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Y'all want to hear the hot rumor?
What's more than anything in the world.
Street Fighter V is going to include V Customs, V Breakers, and V Cases.
I haven't heard that one.
You ain't heard that?
No, is that, where was that?
All over the internet, bruh. Look at this. Rumored Street Fighter V Season 4 Editions, data mined by X-Kira, by Neo Fighters. New V-Mode game mode, which adds a V-Break, combo breaker, a V-Custom, custom combos, V-Cancel, reportedly different from FADC. Some new critical arts. All characters get a second V-Reversal arc. All characters will have one dodge and one attack.
No, maybe Vega won't be fucking garbage.
V-Reversals can be used during V-Trigger using V-Reversal and V-Trigger immediately.
It's probably fake, so who cares?
All right, moving on. Next topic.
Has anyone ever had a combo breaker in Street Fighter before?
I don't want to say no, but I don't remember one.
Right? It's like...
If saying no is wrong.
Okay, right. So a lot of times...
Certainly not in a main series Street Fighter game.
Yeah. A lot of times you hear about these crazy things and you get so put into a box because you've been playing a game for so long that you go, well, they couldn't add that because that would just change everything way too much. And then, I mean, it's been pretty consistent. We've seen a pretty big overhaul to the games, you know, throughout history and more recently, you know, the Arcade Edition update, for instance, where there's a lot of new stuff, you know, brand new V-Triggers, things like that. So it's not possible that all this kind of stuff is going to come together, but X-Kira's track record is there's shoddy. There's definitely been I mean, there's been some things that he said that just absolutely haven't come to fruition, and others that have. So I'd like to say that if this list was a little bit shorter, it'd be a lot more digestible, especially if it was missing things like combo breakers in Street Fighter. Is it impossible? No, of course not. But would they want it? Like, that's going to change the game so much. Like, and when you start to change the entire identity of what the game is, and I think something like that would really mix things up. And yes, we have been asking for more defensive maneuvers and to be able to exist more on a defensive kind of style in this game. Like, that's been something that people have been talking about since almost day one. But like, that's crazy. And it's like, to do that much all at once is a lot. So I have a really hard time swallowing this, at least as it stands right now. But to say that they wouldn't change anything at all, like that's hard to swallow too. I think that there's going to be some.
What was the biggest change in the Street Fighter 4 life cycle? Was it just the red focus?
Well, we got red focus. We got Ultra delayed 2. Wake up.
Yeah, Ultra 2 was probably
Ultra 2 or delayed wake
but
up.
But Ultra 2 come to mind. Like that seems like something natural to add to a game during a lifestyle.
I would say delayed wake up is probably like the crazy one where like it changed and it came late, so you don't think of it as much. But like it completely changed the way the game was played. But
what I guess what I'm looking at is what I'm trying to get at here is how much of a game changer, as John has been pointing out, is this versus other Street Fighter games that got new mechanics?
Well, I mean, we'd have to see what they are.
Assuming this is even really happening.
Yeah,
combo breaker though, like that.
This would be so massive if there was like four new mechanics and like one of them was a combo breaker. Then yes, that would be a huge, gigantic change.
Well, two things to keep in mind with this. One, just because something's in the code of the game doesn't necessarily mean it will be implemented. If you remember back to the vanilla launch, there were audio files in the game for a bunch of different CPT events like Final Round, DreamHack Summer, and those never got used for anything. So even if this is in the game, that doesn't guarantee it's used.
Or it could be Omega mode. Yeah.
Yeah, that's literally the thing, because it sounds like those three big changes are going to be in a separate V mode. So you may have like a core game, which is going to be close to what Street Fighter V is now. And you may have a separate mode, which is going to be where it gets a little wackier, you know, just let it all hang out.
Hey,
I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility.
Do you know who was real hype in Omega Mode?
T-Hawk?
Better fucking believe it, dude. T-Hawk
in this game.
I know. We wanted to know what the fans of this show and followers of the Best of Five Twitter handle wanted to, what they thought or what they think should be added. What was the prompt, Steve?
What new mechanic, if any, would you want to see in Street Fighter V Season 4?
Go for it. Hit us with it.
Metalweight wants to see an EXV reversal that uses additional resources that gives you a better, fully invincible escape wake-up option. Something that effectively fully resets to neutral like a blocked focus-canceled EXDP did in Street Fighter 4. That'd be something. Mad B-Man said he's tired of seeing the same combos. It's boring when commentators call the round when a player whiffs an attack because they know exactly what combo with how much damage will be used to punish. If done correctly, a combo break mechanic can add decision.
Whoa, now we got Robot Steve. First we had Robot John, but have you met Robot Steve? Steve, could you repeat that? Oh, damn, dog. Who's the dad on
this
show?
You asked him to do the entire tweet? Oh,
my God. If done properly, a combo breaker mechanic can add decisions and excitement. Next, please. Yes.
This wasn't Mad B-Man. I apologize for that. But I know. He said, the one mechanic they should add is consistent lag. The problem with Street Fighter V isn't that it should be needlessly complex. Some guy named Elon said, how about a mechanic that punishes...
How do you say his last name?
Raskovsky.
Nice.
That was closer than Efren.
Fuck you.
I would say Raskovsky.
I was trying to say it badly. Come on. Efren.
If we get it right, will you tell us, Elon?
Probably not.
Pick your game up, man. Nikali Valdo said the new V triggers in Season 3 were cool, but he wants to see new critical arts and new V skills too as well. And Sleepy Scrub says nothing. He wants the game to stay exactly the same so he can think about the black defensive option.
Where was mine? I responded to this.
Someone gave my... I wanted V consistent input delay. But, someone already had that.
But you have to pop it otherwise.
Yeah, you got to pop it. Like, oh, yeah, now it's just 4 the whole time. But for me and not for you, yours is at 7 or 6 or sometimes 3.
Yeah, yeah. Like Guitar Hero battles where you mess with your opponent's situation. No,
you know someone would... you know, if Mike Z was still developing a fighting game right now instead of an RPG, he would put that in now. Because you remember, do you remember Ascend Higher?
Yes.
Yeah.
God damn. That like, was such a good game.
Yeah, what were you going
to
say, John?
Of all of these potential changes, I think the one that jumps out to me the most is the idea of custom combo. And I don't know if it would... I think the biggest thing there is because for the audience to watch and how they've wanted this game to be a spectator sport, that would mix things up and kind of quell a lot of the issues that you're seeing pop up with. Well, we just read people saying that they don't want to see the same stuff go down every single time when a combo happens. And what it sounds like to me, the way these patch notes – or not patch notes, but the way these leaks are laid out, you know, it was like – it was Alpha, right, where you could choose your little loadout and that would change your character drastically. You could either have a roll on a parry or you would have custom combos or you would have, you know, whatever, the Vias, the Mexes, and such. And it sounds like that's almost the direction that this would go. Like, you could choose one of these things where maybe you're more on the defensive side, so you get a combo breaker and an additional V reversal or something like that. Or there's another one where you get a custom combo, or you get that FADC, or the thing that's not like an FADC, but the cancel. And that would further definitely add depth to the game. You know, it would change a lot of characters, maybe all of the characters, and the way that you could play them. And so through that lens, it sounds like that could be an overhaul that might... that might be, you know, kind of feasible for what we would want, you know, in Street Fighter V. But I wonder, do any of those games, like, was it CBS had it, or at least CBS 2, and then Alpha 3, I know for sure. Did any of those games not have the three options, like the three loadouts tile options when they began, but then eventually got them in a later iteration?
Alpha didn't have, like, isms in 2, for example.
Okay, so... like, we've seen that happen before, and the change from Alpha 2 to Alpha 3, I'm sure, was massive then, but Capcom's done that. So maybe I received a little bit.
Or maybe it did. Sorry, I think it did. I'm totally wrong. But it's like, Alpha, I don't know. They've changed.
So, but from 0 to 1, or from 1 to 2, maybe then. I don't know. But, like, if that's the approach, like, maybe that's something that I can digest a little bit easier and think, like, okay, they've done that before. They could do that with 5. It would just be, it's a huge undertaking. But at the same time, they've got their DLC out way earlier, I feel, than they ever have before. You know, they're done with all 6 characters, and there's talk about, well, maybe there's going to be another additional character or 2 this year. But if not, then they have their time's freed up to work on something else, you know, bigger and better. And so maybe, like, this isn't as crazy as it sounds when it first appeared, in my opinion.
Have you guys ever heard of Ninjin Clash of Carrots?
No, I haven't.
I have not.
Neither have I. But you put it on this doc, so now we're talking about it. Check that out.
Yeah.
Sonic Fox's persona is a costume that you can use in Ninjin Clash of Carrots.
So, yeah, this is a thing.
Carrots.
That's not even the best part. The best part is the description in-game for this costume.
It's a low blow.
Wearing this makes you feel godlike. Like a fox that can beat a legend 13 times.
Damn, it's immortalized. If it wasn't immortalized before, it's immortalized now. But what if Perfect Legend gets amazing at this game and he becomes the best player? But only because of the motivation given to him by that.
Nobody will give a shit because nobody gives a shit about Ninjin Clash of Carrots. Or if Perfect Legend can get good at it. Seems like a neat game. I wonder how much Sonic Fox is getting to wet his beak on this thing. You know what I mean?
Probably, yeah. Probably
like
not,
for his likeness?
I doubt he cares.
Slash, you know, if he like promotes it, does he get a little cut? You know what I mean?
I'd imagine there was something. I don't know. I have no details on whatever business dealing there was or was not for this game, but it's there. So if you like how the game looks, you can play a Sonic Fox's persona.
And play like a fox that can beat a legend 13 times and feel godlike?
You can. Neat. If that's your thing.
Hey, guys. Probably got to start speeding up through these a little
bit. Yeah, tell me about it. There's all kinds of patch notes. SNK Heroines is coming. Final Round is coming back in 2019. Didn't they say they were closing up shop?
Yeah, they do that all the time.
They were hinting at it, but yeah, it's good to see Atlanta keeping their massive regional. You know, it's a big event for a ton of games, especially Tekken. You know how big that is for the Atlanta scene. And he has to feel a little vindicated because he got a whole bunch of crap thrown at him for the clear bag policy at Final Round 2018. And now, after the unfortunate things that happened in Jacksonville, you're now seeing some bigger events start to move towards those type of security measures. So he has to feel a little vindicated. Hopefully Final Round will be amazing. They've continued to improve for the last couple of years, and hopefully that continues into 2019.
For like the last year.
I would say 2017, you know, 2016 was the rough one that you were at. But 2017, I've heard they made strides there. 2018, I think, was pretty smoothly run, all things considered. So hopefully, like I said, hopefully that continues.
What's the quick and dirty on the Tekken 7 patch notes, Ilan?
Well, how much time do I got?
About 2.5 minutes.
Okay, so... All right, we can work through these. So they added a wall.
This guy took notes, guys. I just want the audience at home to know. This is how much he cares. And side note, he'll be streaming on Thursday. Wait. Well, you can't tell. It's a little blown out. But those are notes. Yep, they are. That entire notebook is Tekken notes. Go on, Ilan.
Yeah, I like Tekken.
You have a minute and a half left.
Sure. So they added the new mechanic. We were talking about mechanics before, wall bounce, which is an addition to... So the way combos work currently in Tekken is you have a launcher, then you can do a string, and then you have a screw, which essentially allows you to connect more strings to that. Mm-hmm. With this new wall bound mechanic, it's adding another layer to that where you can do a string, have a wall bounce, do another string, go into a screw, and then finish your combo, right? So that's going to be pretty big. Rage Arts have one more active frames than they usually do. Spring Kicks got nerfed a little bit. They have more startup, and I think that might have been because Evo ended on a spring kick. And they're in the air earlier, so it gives them less on the startup end and more on the actual active end, so like you can properly crush lows with that. Jack 7 got a lot of nerfs. Dragunov got one important nerf. Claudio got completely reworked. His Starburst system is now not what it once was in the least. With Claudio, Starburst is once you do a specific move, you get your hand starts glowing, and that's a Starburst, which unlocks other moves that you can
My
do.
My favorite is orange.
Yeah. So with... How it's working now is all of the strings that were unlocked by Starburst are you're no longer required to get Starburst in the first place. So you can just do whatever you want all the time. But Starburst now has massive frame and massive damage increases. They also did make his hopkick a little bit easier to whiff punish. So hooray for that. The Mishima's electrics got reworked a little bit, so they have more tracking, so you're not able to sidestep them as easily. Lucky Chloe, everybody who plays Lucky Chloe is insanely happy. She got lots of reach increase and pushback decrease, so she can pressure things better.
I think you have to be pretty happy to play Lucky Chloe in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. Another character that people are very happy about is Law. Law got overall less recovery on a lot of stuff, more damage on a lot of stuff. Xiaoyu got a lot of hitbox decreases. Brian... his sway input is faster, so that might make some of the harder combos in this game a little easier. And the last notable character I looked at is King. He got a lot of damage increases, and his back four is now going to be his main footsie tool.
I heard people were saying Miguel's better. I don't know. I hope someone plays Miguel. It's like the only character I'm a fan of in fighting games. I just
why
wanna
is
see
that,
one.
Mike?
I just like Miguel. I just want to see Miguel do well. That's
why,
it. That's all
do
I
you
care
like
about.
That character?
Well, what's crazy is the one thing I looked at Miguel, I didn't get to look at it a lot, but the one thing I saw of Miguel was a nerf.
Yeah, I saw that. But
what really interests me is like a couple of characters getting reworked, like Dragunov. You know, he got some general buffs, but that one nerf to down two is such. What is going on with this?
The Duncan looks like a beat up Miguel.
I'll take that as a compliment. Miguel's like 7 feet tall and very handsome. So
yeah, but you're a beat up not version.
Beat up.
Yeah, well, it's fine.
Good one, Trezor.
I can get better. Not really.
I mean, you got Eliza who got some buffs, but her dive kick, which a lot of her offense goes through, got nerfed. So it seems like they're trying to rework a few of these characters, at least, you know, deal with some of the things that are more annoying, at least visually. So,
and another thing to note too is most of the changes feel fair. Like, it's a lot of the tools that are underutilized per character are now better, and the tools that were overutilized or they weren't used as intended are now
I think worse. It's a very welcome patch. People seem mostly
there were 1600 lines for this patch.
Yeah, and
that's a good patch.
I haven't seen anyone really take these notes badly, unless you're a Gigas player. Rest in peace.
Thank you, Alon. And if I'm not mistaken, we're going to try something different. Alon wants to take a stab at streaming Tekken and talking about it, and he'll be doing that on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm hoping to do it tomorrow before the patch hits, just so we can see what things look like now and then what they look like after.
And are you streaming that on Best of Five show, or are you going to just have us host you? How are you going to do that?
That's your call.
Do you have a channel? I mean, what do you want the love, bro?
I don't know, man. I don't got nothing.
All right.
Then we'll do it on ours.
We'll decide later.
So we're gonna do it on Best of Five show channel, and
I have to work. Dang it.
You do, son of a bitch. You're on the hook now. Hey, guys, I want you to subscribe, you guys, because somebody brought this up in the chat, and I think it's pretty interesting. I want to get y'all's opinion. Speaking of the safety measures at events, SoCal Regionals, I'm looking at this post from Level Up, and among other things, all bags versus backpacks, everything will be searched.
Fine.
All fight sticks will be thoroughly inspected. This means all guests must be prepared to open their fight sticks, whether they are screwed or latched, before entering the event. It is advised you unscrew, unlatch the bottom or top compartment prior to arriving. We will start conversations with volunteers on Arcade Shock to provide complimentary service to help you re-screw your panel. Some people are concerned that this is going to void their warranties.
It's a weird decision, I think, but I mean, whatever.
That's going to take forever.
I understand it in light of the circumstance. I don't think it's the right way to go about it, but I mean, I can't hate on it.
I can't even picture this going down.
They're not going to do it. That's my prediction.
Yeah, like how
they can't. They can't. There's no way they can do this.
Well, so somebody responds to that post, and this was already August 31st. Shankar at SCR218 says, hey, he tweets at Comba, if I open my Obsidian, does that void the warranty automatically? Can we please get clarification on this matter? And Quamba responded, yes, for all warranty information, please read our warranty policy found on QuambaUSA.com. It's a totally legitimate thing to be like, hey, I don't want my warranty voided. However, who has ever voided the warranty on their FISIC and cared or really cared about not voiding the warranty on it?
Well, and how could... I guess, like, is there a way Quamba can know? There's not, like, a little...
Yeah, there are people who are pretty serious about sending their stuff back and maintaining word.
Hey, that happened to me.
I'm not one of them, but, I mean, they exist.
I bought a Quamba, I think it was a Q4, whatever it is, like, the 8-arc stick, and when it came, about a weekend, the actual, like, the latches on the stick broke, so it was just actually free-flowing, so I had to send that back, and they were very nice about it and got me a new one. So.
But had you opened the panel, they wouldn't have... Repair it for you, is what you're saying?
Possible. They didn't have to if you did.
Well, this is the world we live in. Those are the rules. You know them ahead of time.
I don't know if it's necessarily a good rule in this case, simply because, like you said, if someone's going to do something, I just don't... There are better ways to do it than hide it in a fight stick. I mean, even though it is a possibility now that...
I just think there's other ways to check that, but I mean, whatever.
Yes. Mashed at Rekka says that according to the FTC, it's now illegal for warranty void if removed stickers are, removed.
And another thing, too, what about sticks that are easily, like, you can easily see inside but necessarily can't open? Like, for example, the Dragon. You can just pop that open and it's encased in glass. Would they have to open that glass up to find out? Or are they going to search every stick equally?
No.
This isn't going to happen. It's not practical. I'm just saying it's not practical, so they won't.
It's scorched earth overkill because of the emotional reaction that's going on right now because of the shooting from Florida, and it's like it makes sense that you want to say things that make people feel secure. That's what this is.
Gamepads will not be opened. All guests must walk through metal detector. We strongly advise that you arrive at least 1 to 2 hours before your schedule tournament bracket begins.
We can't even get people to show up like 20 minutes.
Well, you know what, man? That's actually something that's always bothered me so goddamn much. People who can't show up to their freaking pools on time.
Yeah.
If you ever played like an organized sport, I actually swam competitively as a child. If you don't show up, the event goes on without you. You're disqualified. For crying out loud, grow up and be there on time. That is like the most inexcusable thing that's ever happened repeatedly in the FGC. I don't know why they're not harder on that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, ultimately, they're just wasting their own money, right? They entered the tournament. They paid for the pot. They paid for the venue. And they're just screwing themselves out of it.
Yeah. So, I don't think you can really hate on this policy. I mean, like, you can go into nitty-gritty about what's necessary and what's not. But, I mean, obviously, in light of what happened and in light of the fact that it's their event and they want to keep it safe, good. I mean, good for them.
I can hate on the policy.
Well, which policy?
Opening up the stick.
I'm hating on, I already said. Yeah, that one's kind of – I don't think that one makes sense, but – I'm just saying, overall, the security measures being beefed up.
Yeah, and I mean, some people will say that, well, this doesn't really do anything, that this is all security theater. If you're an event organizer and you're seeing the GLHF bar about to get sued out of existence because of
liability stuff,
you know? Getting sued for this, you can't not take some sort of action like this. No. So even if... Even you have to at least look like you're trying. Now, and we can go over, you know, what will actually make events safer until the cows come home.
Hey guys, the IOC, that's the governing body of the Olympics, says esports has no Olympic future until violence is removed.
My shorthand on this is, from everything I saw, people are happy about this and don't really care. I think the narrative from the esports side was that we don't want that, so. Cool.
Yeah. We gain more. I think IOC gains more from having esports at their event than esports gains from being at the Olympics.
Hey, guys, SNK is announcing something new at the end of the week. People are theorizing that it might be another Samurai Showdown.
I've heard Garo. I've heard Sam Show. It could be anything.
It could be anything. It could be nothing.
It won't be Pachinko. They sold off that division. That was like, we had like two or three consecutive like cool leaks of like art end up being Pachinko machines. So we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Well, maybe this is what their announcement is. You know, it's a new game. They're back in the Pachinko business.
What if it's like SNK Heroines, but men?
SNK Heroes?
Am I the only person that really wants a new Metal Slug?
I think this is a fighting game. Slug, yeah. If they do a Metal Slug fighting game, that'd be interesting.
Well, did they say it was a fighting game?
Elon?
They have not.
Mm.
So, it could be Neo Turf Masters 2019 with Rory McIlroy, because that's who they could get. I don't know.
Or my classmate, Jordan Spieth.
Your classmate, Jordan Spieth.
Hey.
He was in my class at college.
But was he in a physical class that you were in at the same time?
No. But, I mean, we would wear the same graduation sweater. Like, we would wear the same class of 2015 sweater.
Brag about it.
Although he dropped out. So he wouldn't be allowed to have that sweater because he dropped out.
Yeah, what a scrub, right? Way to go be a professional golfer.
Law school is going great.
Law school's going well. Elon, Atu, John, what are you writing for Event Hubs right now?
What am I writing?
Yeah, what are you working on? In general, not like during the show, which I keep seeing you look down. No, I mean, like, what are you working on? What can we look forward to? What's the next poster doing?
Oh, I don't know. I'm on best of five duty right now, so, like, I'm not.
It's also all confidential.
It's also super. No, I'm thinking about, specifically writing a piece or expanding on the podcast that we're doing tomorrow about
I didn't say plug your podcast on this podcast. What? God damn it, John. How dare you? But if you didn't know, John is on a podcast with Catalyst and others. I believe Dream King was on for the first time not too long ago. You can find that on eventhubs.com. Thanks, John. I meant, like, what are you working on? But if you want to plug your podcast, there, I did it for you.
Steve, I think that Ryu is hilariously bad, but it's not a good thing for the game, and that, like, something really needs to change for Season 4.
Cool. Yeah, they should make Ryu good. I agree.
I'd read that.
This is a really big misstep on their part.
You've baited me into clicking that article.
As the poster child for the series, I think they could get a lot more out of it. It's more important to make Ryu good than it is to make, like, you know, Fang good.
Fair. Steve, when's your next Tekken World Tour preview article write-up by the ghostwriter known as Nobody going up?
There should be a preview for the mix-up coming out either tomorrow or Thursday. So should be a good event. That will be the last event on Season 1. Even though it comes out after the patch, the organizers asked to run on Season 1 because 2 days was not enough time to have a good tournament. So this week will be Season 1, and then next week SCR and Rev Major will be the first Season 2 Tekken World Tour events.
All right, that brings us to the end of the show. Elon has something to say
before we end the show. Yes. I'm a man of the people, so yes. Pull up those gifts. We got some people to thank.
Oh hell yeah. We totally forgot to.
Oh, did our subs not work? Sub-aroonies. Our subaroony thing?
The stupid noise won't do it, but that's okay. So we have AJP Brooks subscribed. We have Unsung Hero resubscribing for 6 months. And The Core has subscribed using their Twitch Prime. So thanks, fellas.
Yes, thank you very much for helping us do this show. And not, you know, not his podcast that he plugged. On our show without permission.
Yeah, seriously, John. What a piece of shit. Love you guys.
Oh, we got to do Chun costumes.
Dude, oh, do we have more Chun costumes to give?
I totally forgot to send out the PayPal. Sure to hashtag Rebel. Sorry, guys. We have 2 Chun costumes from last week that I forgot to give out. Sorry. But we'll have them out for next week after the show. I'm going to do it. You want to give away another one? Are you trying to open up the raffles even though it's already past 7:30?
Open up the raffle right now. Right now.
Okay. Open up the raffle.
It's open. It's open. All everybody right. Do the hashtag waffle.
Oh, God. While we're that, remember the PGRZ?
Yeah.
Yeah. They came out with their full list of the top Dragon Ball FighterZ players in the world. Sonic Fox, number one by just 10 points over Goichi, but look at that green, 6 players.
What does that mean?
It means their power level is over 9,000.
Oh.
their power level is literally over 9,000.
Pretty cool.
That's a tired meme.
Fucking John. John, go plug a fucking podcast.
I'm gonna
go through and count the number of times you plugged Best of 5 on the Event Hubs podcast.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, goose egg, 0 times.
Damn.
All right. Can we do 2 names?
I say Best of 5 on almost every podcast. And we talked about it on Best of 5 this week, blah, 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 blah. So you guys can suck that goose egg.
Well, hashtag raffle. Okay, we have a winner.
Yeah, so we got. So how many we need to draw? 2?
2.
2.
2 okay. Winners.
First person is one UGK for life.
UGK for life.
What's up, UGK for life? You're the winner of a Chun costume courtesy of one Donka Schiller.
And remember, everyone has to take a selfie with it. That's part of the, and it's a honor code thing.
Yeah, and then the second person is Mad B Man.
Mad B Man.
And if you don't want your face in it, that's fine. Just like do something. Put your thumb in it, you know, at least.
Put your goose eggs in there.
Put your goose eggs.
And then send them to John directly.
So those are the 2 winners.
Who's the second winner again?
Mad B Man.
Mad B Man. If I don't see you in this chat, say hooray. You ain't getting that Chun costume, bruh.
Be happy or else.
Can you believe that one guy last week was like, thanks, I don't want it.
Thanks, but I don't want it. I play Laura. That was cool.
I don't even own the game. Mad B Man.
Oh, my God. Okay, you know what?
Say you didn't want it.
I have another one.
All right, by the way, if you're trying to joke around, you're screwing yourself up because we got a new one. Who's the new one?
Has heat. Some say he's hot.
Some say he has heat.
He has the heat.
All right, has heat. You are a new Chun costume winner. Mad B-Man has been disqualified for not owning the game and therefore, by definition, cannot buy a Chun costume.
There he is.
Yeah,
he's happy.
Do you have a PS4 and Street Fighter V has heat?
We really need to like make a graphic for
this
next time.
Well, he hasn't lied about it yet or said he does not. So, I mean, yeah.
I'm waiting to see if Has Heat has the freaking game.
OMG, I won. So I'm guessing yes, they do.
Okay. Well,
go ahead, if not, get your whisper at Steve.
If not, then we'll get one more next week.
All right. Yeah, we need to go.
Oh, he has them. Cool. All right. Problem solved. Yay.
All right. Smile later,
Jerks. He has all the Chun-Li costumes already.
Kidding. All right. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you for everybody who followed. Thank you everybody who subbed. Follow him at @dasdanka. Follow Steve at @AceKingAsu. Follow John at Velociraptor, and he writes for Event Hubs. Steve writes for Tekken World Tour.
And Efren's at Lone Star Gamer.
I am at Lone Star Gamer. See you guys next week.
Good night, Canada.